Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Morning, everybody.
So let me mention this real quick, and then we'll move on to the news of the day. All right, so we were supposed to go, by we, I mean a group, our group here, our annual pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We were supposed to go in February. Excuse me, supposed to go in March, right?
Of last year?
Yeah, of this year.
Of this year, okay.
But it got canceled because of the war in Gaza. That's pretty well over now. And I think the worst is over, and things are only calming down. They're going to settle down. And it's back to bit. There are tour groups in Israel right now. Tour groups don't go near fighting.
Right.
Okay. So we're going in February. We're taking the group that we intended to go in March. We're taking them in February.
Okay.
Got me? Follow me?
25.
Yeah. Like in 3 months, 2 months from now, whenever that. So we have four seats that are available. So I only mention this, only four, and it's first come, first serve. You got me?
I got you.
So the dates are February 18th through the 26th. If you want to go to Israel with our group in February, as in 2 months from now, I'm telling you, we have four seats left, and when they're gone, they may be gone today or tomorrow. It's first come, first serve. Then our tour will be officially, quote, sold out. You got me?
Got you. Where do they go if they
Okay, I got the so send an email. I'm going to give you the email.
Okay.
Okay. The email, I tell you what, just go to wildmangroup.com. Isn't that it, Wesley?
That's it.
WILDMONgroup.com. Go there, and you'll see the email address. Wildmangroup.com. Click on that and say,
but they
you don't have to commit, but you, if you're interested in one of these four seats, you need to say.
Need to get your name on the list.
That's right. What are you going to say, Wesley?
I was going to say, you can correct me here if I'm wrong, but I
will. Because I have for a long time. How old are you, son?
Son.
How old are you, boy?
35 boy, 35-year-old boy.
Okay.
I don't think you can register there because.
No, because.
This is the trip that we were supposed to take.
Yeah, you'll have to register by calling in.
Right.
But if you want to inquire and say, I'm interested in the seats, how much do they cost, yada, 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 go to the website, wildmangroup.com. Yep. The email is there. Instead of me giving the email out, the email is there, and you can email us and say, I'm interested in one of those
spots,
or two of those four seats. Go, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So we got some breaking news right now. I know you guys led the show with the shooting in New York City. This United Healthcare executive, 50 years old, Brian
Thompson.
It looked for everything. They got video of the shooter now. They've released a picture of the shooter right in the act of shooting. There are video cameras everywhere in New York City, and they knew this. The guy shot. He was apparently waiting for this executive to come out of the hotel. They had an investor group meeting going on in the hotel at the time. He walked out, and as soon as this executive, Brian, walked out, the gunman raised his gun and shot and then fled on a bicycle. So, and they don't have any motive yet. They haven't said anything about that. They're still looking for this guy, but they have released a picture. And there's reports that the CEO, Andrew Witty, halted the investor conference at that hotel shortly after 9 a.m., telling the crowd, we're dealing with a very serious medical situation. Mm. So that's the latest on there. They're still looking for this guy. But they've got cameras.
And I will say this, that as much as I don't like having a lot of cameras around, I don't like the idea of a surveillance state. At the same time, I will say it's going to be very difficult for this guy to get away because the sheer number of cameras.
Right.
Now they got a picture of what he, now you can't see his face. He's completely covered. Hood, gloves, it looks like. But that, the person dressed like that is going to be tracked on cameras.
Yep, yep.
Everywhere he goes. Yep. If he gets in a car, they're going to have his tag number. Yep. If he goes to another hotel, if he goes to the train station. So there is an upside to all these cameras when you're talking about crime.
Yep, indeed there is.
That guy, I'm looking at a picture of that guy, the guy who is the alleged killer this morning of the United Healthcare CEO. He's got, he looks neat.
Yes.
Okay, he's got his pants, his shoes, everything. He's got
a
his
nice backpack. It looks
nice
like.
Backpack on. I mean, he looks like that was planned.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
He's planned. He's waiting on the guy to come out of the hotel. He knows who he is. He's going to, you call that a hit job. It's either a hit job, like in the mob style movies, right, or it's somebody who's has a vendetta or is very angry at United Healthcare for stiffing them or something. That kind of motivation,
yeah,
you know? So anyway, what's your next story?
Yeah. We haven't talked a whole lot, at least in my segment on this show, about the Daniel Penny case, have we?
No, not a whole lot. Not since it's happened.
Well, Daniel Penny is a former Marine who was on the subway, there was a guy that was having some mental distress, and he was threatening people.
We found out later he also had a history of this, too.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, he had a history of this. So Daniel Penny stepped in and got this guy who was threatening to kill people on the subway in a chokehold. And there is debate right now of whether that chokehold or something else ended up taking his life, this suspect. The trial is ongoing, and it has gone to the jury. And the prosecutor in the case is a woke woman by the name of Defana Yoron, who continually referred to Daniel Penny in this case as the white guy, because, of course, one of the reasons it's getting a lot of press is because Daniel Penny is white, and the gentleman that he killed, I'm looking for his name right now, is black. Neely. So the guy's name was Neely, N-E-E-L-Y. This Neely had a history. He's been in and out of the mental facilities in New York City for a while. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, was on the Rob Astoriano show on Saturday, and he made a statement. This is before it went to the jury. The jury's still out, but I want you to hear what Mayor Adams has to say about this case. Cut 13.
The young man in this case was going within our system, throughout the revolving door of our system. Now, we're on the subway where we're hearing someone talking about hurting people, killing people. You have someone on that subway who was responding, doing what we should have done as a city in a state of having a better mental health facility. Those passengers were afraid. I'm hoping that the jury will hear all the facts. Based on all the facts that's laid out, a jury of his peers would make the right decision. And I don't want to prejudge that. I'm just looking at all the facts that are involved here and what we did to get to where we are and what we're seeing. Because that could have easily been a case where you saw three innocent people murdered on our street.
Who's we?
The city of New York.
City. I guess he's speaking for the city of New York.
Yeah.
Okay. He saying Daniel Penny is he's for him or against him?
He's for him.
He's for him. He's saying that anyone else should have done the same. If it wasn't him, it should have been someone else. Somebody should have stopped him. It just so happened
and
to him.
It should have been the city of New York.
Oh yeah, that's
he
right.
Was in and out of their mental health facilities. They gave him drugs. They sent him back out on the street instead of dealing with him.
Reasons.
Right.
His mental illness.
Adams was also very critical of the media in this case, referring to the pictures that were first published of Mr. Neely that show him as a...
like a teenager.
Clean,
oh,
yeah, upstanding.
Oh, I always share that one.
Yeah, it was just like the guy was, you know, anybody's son. You're proud of this guy, and he was mercilessly killed by some racist white guy is the narrative that Eric Adams had a problem with. So that's not
good
the guy.
For him.
Yeah. Now, isn't it also true that I don't know if you already said this about Daphna Uran, the assistant Manhattan district attorney, and the fact that once sought reduced punishment?
Yeah, no, I hadn't mentioned that yet. But this is her. This is on her bio. This is she got a on her website.
Who is she again?
She's the prosecutor in the Daniel.
She's
Petty
the
case.
Assistant district attorney.
Gotcha.
And on the website of the district attorney's of New York City, the website her bio, it says her track record would make any guilty defendant tremble. She's committed to holding killers accountable. Is fueled by a sense of responsibility as the daughter of a Holocaust survivor. She took down a white guy. It was the first time a white supremacist was prosecuted for domestic terror in the United States. She did that. But then on down it says she prosecuted Matthew Lee for inadvertently killing an elderly professor while robbing him at an ATM. And she said in that case, in corroboration with the victim's family, she said she didn't think a long prison sentence was appropriate.
So this was in the commission of a crime.
Yes.
Robbing an elderly person at an ATM.
Right.
And the person dies.
Yes.
In the commission of a crime. It does not deserve a harsh sentence. But Daniel Penny, trying to protect people from a crime.
Right.
When somebody dies,
yeah, that he's the white guy.
He's the white guy.
You got to stick it to the white guy.
And now this, Daphna Uran,
that's all that is. Yeah.
Is she's white herself?
I know, but these bleeding heart white liberals, yeah. They're the worst.
That's right.
Absolute worst.
Young white liberals are the worst.
They're worst. You need an island for them.
I just wanted to make a point here. The obvious, they're really having to stretch this to make this anything racial when the hard reality is that if Penny was racist, why would he wait for a black person to do this before he did any? It's obvious.
From the testimony I heard, Daniel Penny, the Marine, I don't think he's active. I think he's
ex-Marine.
There are no former Marines, but okay. Yes, he's not serving
in the past anymore. In his life, he was a Marine at one time. Yeah. How about that?
Yes. Okay?
Everybody gets so that sensitive passed. About that. This fella who was mentally ill or just a mean, stupid guy was threatening other people on this subway. Mm-hmm. Not Daniel Penny. Necessarily, maybe he was one of them. So Daniel Penny said, "I got to get involved here to stop this guy, or he's going to physically
hurt somebody."
He didn't set out to kill the guy,
right?
The guy died.
He got him in a chokehold to try. Yeah,
he subdued him until officers got there.
Yeah, and then he died subsequent to that.
Right. And he never stopped. He didn't stop when he was trying to when Daniel Penny was trying to stop him from doing bad things. He didn't say, okay, I'm done. I'll stop now.
He didn't tap up.
He kept on going.
And there were minorities on the train.
Yes, he was. Daniel
who
Penny,
were
the white, the,
who were
the white,
assisting
the
him.
White yeah. Marine, was protecting black people.
Yes.
And other people of color from a guy who just happened to be black, who was also nutso.
Right.
I basically got it
there. Yeah, you got
and
it.
Every single person that was on that train praised Daniel Penny and thanked him
The only reason this is in court right now is because he's a white guy. Otherwise, he's not charged.
Well, there was a firearm involved. There was a knife. Never mind. There were no weapons involved.
Oh yeah.
Up until this point it's a constant battle of Second Amendments, you know, a shooting that takes place. They want to get rid of your Second Amendment if there's a stabbing or whatever. But in this case there was no weapons involved.
Yeah, you talk about didn't ask for something. Daniel Penny, he's just going into New York on a subway minding his own business.
Yeah.
And he's put in a position where he has to intervene to keep a guy from harming others on the subway.
Yeah.
And he may be the only one capable.
And this is how long has it been going on?
Like two years.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've got it right here.
So for all the good Samaritans out there, they're watching this and going,
2020.
That's why you don't get involved.
That's why I'm never getting involved, and that's why crime increases.
That's why New York City people walk over people who are who have just been beat up or mugged because they don't want to get involved and
can't blame
charged.
Them.
Yeah, you might get charged. You remember some of the Yes, I agree with you, Tim. The only reason that this was a case is because Daniel Penny was white and the victim.
And a Marine. The left hates the military, too.
And the victim was black.
Yes.
Okay, but let me toss in an additional reason why this happened. Because Daphne Uran, the assistant Manhattan district attorney, is a white liberal. And it seems like the people in the district attorney's office, remember, several years ago, there was the owner of that little shop that was defending himself.
Yes, bodega.
A bodega.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a knife to defend himself, and the criminal who was going to rob him and shoot him or whatever, he died. They were going to charge the bodega owner until it hit the news. But he wasn't white, so I guess they couldn't go forward.
They didn't. And by the way, it's kind of a corollary to this. You talk about people not wanting to step in to help people because of this. There's such a thing called the Ferguson effect that affects police officers for the same reason.
Yeah,
several police officers have been taken to trial in justified shootings, and they've been honored exonerated in this. Not all of them. There's the case of those that have been sent to prison for actual crimes they committed against a suspect. But the willingness and the rate of prosecutions of these police officers has other police officers saying, you know what, I'm going to close my eyes and drive past this,
right?
Because I don't want to be the next guy to be on trial for something that.
So what's going to happen here? What's the next step?
Well, the jury's out. The jury could come back any minute, any day.
I'm going to predict they're going to come back and exonerate him.
I think so too.
I agree.
And I'll tell you, I think the reason for that, at least one of the reasons, would be the fact that everyone else on the train,
yep, that's right,
minorities included, said no. We're glad he was there.
Right,
he saved us.
Well, and there was, if I remember the video correctly, there were a handful of people helping him. Now they weren't choke holding him, but they were helping restrain him too. So he's not the only one.
Right.
It was trying to stop
eyewitnesses them. That I saw, and this would include people of all color, well, at least black and white folks, and maybe some other colors there too. But they were saying this guy who Daniel Penny was holding down was verbally threatening
to kill people
on that, you know.
Yeah,
and they were scared.
Yes,
and he stepped in for them. Go ahead, next story.
All right, I know you talked earlier about the nomination of Pete Hegseth being in trouble.
Potentially. Yeah.
There is another one of Donald Trump's picks for the cabinet that has dropped out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy named Sheriff Chad Chronister, who is the sheriff in Hillsborough County, Florida. And he has withdrawn from consideration to be the head of the Drug Enforcement Agency. Now, a lot of conservatives are cheering this decision to not run or to get rid of this guy, because he was, among other things, he arrested a pastor who kept his church open during the COVID pandemic. He has a lot of liberal bona fides, but this is what he said when he arrested the pastor, whose name was Ronald Howard Brown. He says, announcing the arrest of Dr. Ronald Howard Brown, pastor of the River at Tampa Bay Church, who intentionally and repeatedly disregarded state and local public health orders, which put his congregation and our community in danger. And so a lot of people are saying there should be somebody else to lead the DEA.
I don't have to hear much more if he arrested the pastor.
Right.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. I think the pastor and the sheriff are friends now. Well, he withdrew his name. Trump nominated him, and now he's withdrawn his name for that position. So I guess somebody else will.
I was, you know. I'll be honest, I was kind of surprised.
You want that job?
No.
It's a DEA. You don't want to enforce drugs? And
I do, but I have no experience. I don't even want to wrap Christmas presents.
All right. Well, we got a DEA. The job
spot's open.
The job's open for the applicants. Need to call President Trump and let him know you're interested. So
I'm not. You trying to get rid of me?
I'm sorry. What were you going to say? No, we need.
No, I was just going to say I am a little surprised that he dropped out. Not necessarily having to do with his qualifications. I had heard about the thing with the pastor. I didn't know that maybe they were friends now, but it's so quick. I mean, he got it, got the nomination. He said,
went to lunch, came back.
Yeah, that's what it's kind of like.
Well, even a handful of those. Okay.
He says, over the past several days, as the gravity of this very important responsibility set in, I've concluded that I must respectfully withdraw from
consideration. Why did you say yes in the first place?
That's what I'm thinking. Did you
not
think-
realize the gravity when you said yes?
Yes.
I think that's
that's his cover.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That's what you say when Trump took the job away from you.
I was surprised this happened so quickly.
Okay, I'm not specifically criticizing President Trump for this, because it happens with every single administration where these presidents name somebody and then 2 days later, you know,
based on feedback, we
start hearing they did this, that, or the other, or and you're going like, and they're going to have to withdraw their name, and you're going like,
you not think about that beforehand?
Did you not do your background check on this guy?
Huh? Yes.
If his mom's writing emails, and you don't.
Now, I'll give the Trump team a pass on that one.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
I don't know how in the world the New York Times got his mother's emails.
But like this DEA, the sheriff in Florida.
That's right.
His name was only mentioned 2 days ago. Well, it's either he's bipolar, okay? Because I don't mean that
allegedly.
I don't mean that in a clinical sense. I mean that in a way that he vacillates too much.
Yes.
Which that usually isn't the personality profile of a sheriff.
Right. Right.
Or what appears to have happened here with this sheriff, his name is
Chad Cronister.
Listen, he may be great at prosecuting drug dealers.
Yeah.
Well, he can't prosecute, but arresting them and busting them up. He may be great at that, which why when Trump named him, I'm going like, well, yeah, he did make that mistake at COVID early on, but is he good at what Trump's hired him to do here?
Right.
That is the DEA. But then when you withdraw your name 2 days later, I'm going like, and then you say, after I consider the gravity of the job, and I don't believe that. I believe that Trump said, I didn't know about you arresting the pastor.
Right.
So I'm going to withhold.
That just seems like a Google search.
I know. That's why you're going somebody dropped the ball there. Who? Yeah. Somebody dropped the ball?
No,
or do you think he changed his mind because his wife said you're not doing this?
No, I think
I don't want to go to Washington.
Yeah. I think in some cases Trump knows about. I think in all these cases Trump knows about these things. I think once he gets a response from people, there was enough conservatives that had a issue with this and they let it be known on social media, and I think it's a response to that
pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, listen, that happens in life. It happens in all jobs, all companies, whatever. People are offered jobs, and 2 days later, their job offers rescinded.
Yep.
Or the person decides, hey, you know, I really don't want that after all.
Or the person accepts the job and then goes home and tells his wife. And his wife says, oh, no, you're not.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that course of taking a new job of any kind.
Right, you're right.
Hey, tomorrow, if we got time, the college football playoff brackets are out. We can talk about that.
We'll talk about that. Ed's Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.